Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us today. Amen. Good to see everybody. Turn around and wave at someone, fist pump them, elbow them, whatever you're comfortable with. Amen. The Lord's telling you to hug them, and it's okay with them. Hug them if you need to. God bless you. You may be seated once you've smiled at someone and let them know how special they are. Amen. Good to see you today. Amen. God is good. Well, next Sunday is a special day. Anybody know what next Sunday is? 21 days prayer and fasting. Amen. Let there be light. Thank you, Jesus, for the light. Amen. 21 days of prayer and fasting. If you have not done that before, we ask you to join with us if you would. Put it to the test and see what the Lord will do and bless you by being a part of something that is kind of pushing some things back we need to push out of our life. Amen. And make more room for God. Anybody need more God in your life? And I know 6 o'clock a.m. Monday through Friday sounds early, and it is for several, especially the ladies that stay at home and take care of the children because they need them to sleep a little extra. Amen, especially when school's not in. And right now, we normally do this while school is in, but this year has been pushed back. And so we're going to be meeting up here Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. for 1 hour. We'll let you go on time, and there will be others that will hang out and still minister to one another, and that's fine too. It will be live streamed. You can participate at home on your computer or however you got it set up to stream it into your house and worship with us and join with us on, amen, being that conduit that God needs us to be in our world right now. He's not going to do it without us. And the reason that we're doing these 21 days of prayer and fasting in August and in January is because we want to give him the platform he deserves. And in the meanwhile, we get blessed. Amen. I'm finding out from several that have been joining with us, they don't want to miss 21 days of prayer and fasting because they get connected. They find out their family's bigger. They find out they're getting more out of it than they're putting into it. Amen. And so we need that in the world we're living in right now, especially with a pandemic and social unrest going on, and the world needs Jesus to show up. And so just come around with us next Sunday. We'll meet here, amen, at 10:15 for service. Amen. That'll be our first day, so that's an easy one. And then Monday through Friday and then Saturday at 9 a.m., we'll meet back here and do corporate prayer and have a good time. So has the Lord talked about what you're going to talk to you about, what you're going to push back? Is it media? Is it food? Is it something that you're spending too much time with, Game Boy, or I don't know if that's still, they still play that. Boy, I dated myself. Nintendo 64. What is it that you feel like you're spending a little bit too much time with it? It's not that it's sin. It's not that it's going to take you to a bad place, but you might experience things, amen, that just don't edify you, and you just feel like you need to push it back and make more room for God. Let the Lord talk to you about that today. Matter of fact, in this portion of the service, before we get into the message on God, I am who God says I am, is the message today. We're still talking about faith versus fear. I am exactly who he says I am. Whether I believe it or not, he still sees me that way. And some of you need to hear it that way today. You're seeing yourself from a different lens, and God is trying to get through to your spirit man so that you can agree with him on who he says you are. Who he says you are. And right now, we want to slow down and clear out all the static in our thinking right now. And some of us today are really concerned about ourselves. And When I say that, you might be worried about yourself. You may be worried about your health. You may be worried about the finances. You may be worried about your job. Whatever it is that you're concerned about, the Lord's saying, if you'll give him that to him, he'll take care of that, if you'll take care of what he wants you to do. And every one of us feel like that's true. Whether or not the world says that or not, we sense that that is God's way. But he wants to talk to you about that right now. And the reason I'm doing that at the beginning of the message is because we're going to pray for a church like we do every week. Lead church, Pastor Watson, church family. I'm going to pray for them today. But we need to hear what God's saying about them, don't we? We know God wants to do good. We know God wants to use them. But there's some things that God wants to do specifically for Lead Church and the pastors there that you and I can be a conduit. We can be an instrument of love. We can forego what we need and we can focus on God and their need. And then God will take care of our needs. Kind of works that way, ladies and gentlemen. Now, as we're opening up our spirit right now, I hope you're listening, because he's talking about Lead Church and Pastor Watson and family there. He's talking about them. Can you hear him? If you can't hear what the Lord's saying about Lead Church and Pastor Watson and family, well, then maybe you need to listen for a moment about some forgiveness issues. Because he can't talk until we let him forgive us. He can't get through unforgiveness. And there's two things. Forgiveness issues towards people and then anger. Anger kind of ties in with forgiveness issues, don't it? And if you're challenged with that right now, it's going to be hard for you to hear what the Lord's saying about Lead Church and the ministry and God's will for them. And by the end of the message today, I'm believing that you're going to get a knowing that you need. Amen. You're going to begin to know some things about you and who God says you are, so that now, all of a sudden, the Great Commission is, it's the party. It's just what you do. Did y'all know the Great Commission is not meant to be a negative message? It's an invitation from heaven to earth to join in with God and his mission. And that's where the party is, in baptizing and making disciples. And I don't know of anybody in this room that wants to miss the party. The party's going on right now. And it's all about people being born again, amen, taking on their identity and stepping into their call with God and becoming who he says they are. And so as we pray for Lead Church right now, if you're not here and say, "No, Lord, I want Lead Church to be blessed today." Now, if I've got some issues with somebody I need to make right, talk to me about that right now so I can get that cleared out of my spirit. If I'm angry at somebody, would you address that with me right now so that I can get my ear tuned in to what your spirit is saying to the church? I want to be your instrument of love. I want you, Lord, to do what you planned to do from the very beginning. Before I was born, amen, I want you to set me up. And somebody may be saying, "Well, man, I'm almost wasted all my life." No, God knows how to redeem the time. And he can move in a supernatural way that will blow your mind. Anybody want to let God do that today? Father, I thank you for your presence. We're slowing down to your spirit movement, to what your voice is saying, getting in harmony with what you're speaking and how your melody goes. Lord, you've got a plan today. We don't want to miss it. Now, Lord, Lead Church in the ministry there depends on you to help them. And you've chosen, by way of the church, members of one body to minister to one another, to speak life into each other, to edify, to build up and strengthen one another. That's what we are here for. Man, we don't want Lead Church and Pastor Watson and family to, amen, to miss any of the mark you have placed before them. We want them to achieve running this race and faithfully crossing the finish line, Lord. Use them supernaturally. Give them a double portion of what you're allowing us to experience here today. Bless them, Lord. Give them a big hug. They're our brothers and sisters, and amen, you set them up to be successful, to be victorious, to be winners. Thank you for blessing them today, and thank you in advance for helping us, God, to receive everything you have for us today, Lord, at New Life Fellowship. No one lacking. Everybody filled with the rivers of life. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. God bless you. Amen. It's a good day. And I'm looking forward to getting this message off of me right now. Amen. I really was looking forward to seeing our kids' life do a program today. But I have to say I'm more looking forward to getting this burden off of me right now. So kids' life will, man, just stay tuned for station identification. They'll be up here. Amen. And we can join in serving our children. Amen. I am who he says I am. You know, as a child, I remember that if my dad said something, I would remember it and I would talk to everybody else about it. My daddy said. And it was the rule. I mean, it was law. My daddy said. Anybody remember when daddy said? Maybe if you didn't have a father that was where he needed to be and he wasn't in home like he should, you said, my mommy said. Amen. And it was the law, and you was happy to let everybody know mommy said it. Nonetheless, you had someone in your life that validated you and made you feel value. And you were in love with the fact that you were connected with them. They brought a dynamic to your life that brought confidence. And you were, as a child, sure that if dad or mom said this, it was the law. It was right. Amen. There's something about becoming little children. Something about, amen, taking on the identity as children of God. Unless we become like, such is the kingdom of God. You want to move, amen, heaven to earth, amen, is when you trust him in the way that you can leap into his arms when, from the world's perspective, that's dangerous. That's not wisdom. But because daddy said, you leaped right into his arms. You believed him. You trusted him. And you knew that he had your best interest involved. Paul would challenge the church often, and he would write in his letters things such as, I beseech ye, and I'm quoting the King James right now, I beseech you, I'm begging you, by the mercies of the living God, hear what I'm saying. And he would just put a little extra emphasis on what he was speaking because it was that serious, and he wanted them to know, Daddy said this, and he ain't changing. You cannot debate it. You cannot argue with it. It's forever settled. Daddy said it. And if you'll go with it, you're going to step into joys that you haven't experienced, peace that you've never experienced before. Amen. Thank God for the levels of joy and peace we have experienced up to this point, but we have yet to experience what God wants us to have. Your best days are before you. And so paying attention to the fact that God says something about you, amen, that's very important that you get. Now, In our world, have you ever done anything because it was logically you needed to do it? Logic said do it. But while you were doing it, in the process of doing it, you felt like, man, something ain't right. Oh, 2 + 2 = 4, I should do this. It adds up, I need to engage in this, but something's not right about it. We need to pay attention to that. in our spirit. It's important. Even though I've heard things in ministry, I've heard things over the years at church that, you know, were good, and thank God for it. There's been times when I engaged in what I heard, I just didn't hit the mark. And while I was missing the mark, I was trying to hit the mark, I just didn't feel right about it. And you have these Bible studies and these scriptures that kind of back up what you're doing, but you just don't feel right. Something's missing. And so, Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman, and he challenges her to the point where she comes to realize, I got some issues in my life. And it was all about her own anger towards how she's been treated. Amen. She's looked at by her city as a lady of ill repute and red light district typed. And she's so ashamed of her identity, she's coming out by herself to draw water. And Jesus challenges her, and he asks her, give me to drink, and she goes into a debate with him. Here you are, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan, to give you drink. And so teams are being set up. And here I am, a woman, and you being a man, and you're asking me to give you drink. And he stops her, and he says, lady, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew who I am, you would ask me to drink. If you knew who I was, you would ask me to serve you, and I would give you water, then you'll never thirst again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How often have we went to our little well, amen, because we felt less than who God says we are? We felt ashamed. We felt guilt. We felt unworthy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? This is important. I pause and let you think a minute. Amen. Because shame, guilt, and unworthiness, amen, are identities that most all of us have adopted in our lives. And these identities don't equal treasure. It equals trash. Anybody agree that guilt, shame, and feeling unworthy is trash? That when you believe that you're a child of God, that you're a king of the king, you're one of the kings of the king, amen, that you're an ambassador of another kingdom, you're a son of God, when you begin to think like that, now that's treasure. That's not trash. It's interesting what you'll find around treasure. It's also interesting what you'll find around trash. Trash will draw the rats, right? And most people are more turned off by rats than they are trash. But if you get rid of the trash, you get rid of the... It's important for everybody. We got to catch this. And this is where God's... I'm not preaching at nobody here today. All I'm doing is taking what I get from looking at the guy in the mirror. Okay, Daddy, help me. Because I know what it is to take things personal. I know what it is to let people bother me. And if people bother me, I'm letting what God calls treasure bother me. Because the enemy wants me to see God's treasure as trash. Has anybody ever looked at someone and looked at them in such a way that you find their flaw? The moment that you look at someone and you see what's wrong about them, you just looked at God's treasure as being... Can you fix anybody? I've already proven I can't fix anybody. I got a problem fixing a guy in the mirror. So until I can fix him, fixing you ain't happening. And the Lord said, you can't even fix him. But if you'll let me, I'll fix that guy in the mirror. But you're going to have an ear, son, to hear what my spirit's saying. I'm going to teach you all things. Does anybody believe? God can teach you all things? What does all things mean? That you can actually walk on water? He can teach you how to walk on water. He can teach you how to walk through that wall. He can teach you to lay hands on the sick and they might recover. No, they will recover. Jesus can teach you all things, and he says you're someone that you need to start agreeing with that you are. Look, Jesus came 2,000 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, to do one thing, to put on demonstration an example of who you are designed to be. He showed up, God in flesh showed up to reveal who you are. I need to pause for a minute so you can catch this. He didn't set you up by coming like he did for you to go to church. Pastor, what are you saying? We don't need to be here next Sunday? No, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together, as some do. We need to come together. But we don't go to church. We are the church. He is who he says you are. In other words, let me say this. You are who he says you are. And he came and revealed who you were in flesh 2,000 years ago. I need to hold there till you catch this. Got to catch this. Because when you catch this, you'll take the trash out. Look, gossip. Alcoholism, drug addiction, pornography, the list goes on, doesn't it? Rats. What permits me to be an alcoholic, a gossiper, a drug addict? What permits me to do that? The identity I've taken. What identity is that? Shame, guilt, unworthiness. Somebody's going to catch it in a minute. And if you feel unworthy right now, if you feel guilty or shame in any way, guess where the rats are coming? To the trash. The only reason you feel guilt and shame and unworthiness is because the enemy lied to you. And he told you you were guilty. God didn't say anything about you being guilty. God says you're forgiven. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him. Now, I'm going to just tell you something. Before I get through this passage, you're going to realize you're right there in that passage. You're right there in it. Anybody here a member of the body of Christ? That God has a plan, greater works than he did when he showed up to show you who you are, you're going to do because he paid the debt off. You're not guilty no more. You have to believe a lie to be guilty or to feel guilt. In other words, anybody ever come on, this is our false mask we put on. You know, I can say to God, you know, God, I feel ashamed. And he can work with that because I'm being honest with him. I feel it. I feel unworthiness. I feel guilt. And if I'm honest with him that I feel it, he said, well, I can go. I can work with you there. I can work with that. Lord, help me here. And I feel like you're a million miles away. Being honest with God, we're just telling him the truth. This is how I feel. But if I ever say I'm guilty, I am unworthy, he can't work with that. That's a lie. How did you come to agree with the lie? It's one way, one thing to feel guilty. It's another thing to admit I am guilty. But you don't understand. I did. Okay, got to catch this. This is so important. We don't produce. You can only carry the fruit of your father. This is going to set somebody free here. I feel so thank you, Lord, for your unction right now. You can't produce bad fruit or good fruit. You can bear it, you can hold it, you can carry it. Your limbs can, because you're tied into the right root, will produce it. Come on, we're branches. He's the vine. What vine are you tapped into? You know the tree by the fruit it bears. It don't mean produces. It holds it. It carries it. Where did the fruit come from? Its Father. So since no one in here is good enough to take credit for good fruit, there's nobody in here bad enough to take credit for bad fruit. You'd have to believe the lie that the enemy's trying to sell you, because he don't want you to know he's a puppeteer. And his whole goal is to keep you from believing you are who God says you are. He wants to neutralize your identity, because if you ever believe in who God says you are, he's beat. He's already been beat. But he wants you to make you think he's a dragon. He wants you to make you think that he's in control. That the darkness moving through the earth right now, amen, is all him taking over the earth. No, he's not taking over the earth. He's defeated. God can't lose. Everybody agree with this? But it sure looks like God looking. Yeah, because he's making it look like that. But God's got this thing set up for wonderful revival. He's got it set up for miracles. He's got it set up for an influx of souls. Come on, I've already found out you can get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And eventually you'll say, Lord, help me. And right now, our society is getting really tired of the media. They're getting tired of listening to it. They're becoming hungry to hear what the Lord is saying about where we are. And so we're at a place right now where fussing and fighting is not working. Being in opposition with one another is not working. God is moving us to deal with the trash, and when you take the trash out, the rats go. You get rid of shame, guilt, and unworthiness, alcoholism leaves. Drug addiction leaves. Pornography leaves. Gossip, backbiting, amen, leaves. The rats go. Amen. When you begin to realize God has something to say about who you are, and when you agree with it, you're going to begin to bear. You're going to begin to hold. You're going to begin to carry this wonderful fruit. Amen. And people are going to come and eat from the tree all this wonderful fruit because you're in alignment with what God says about who you are. That's how powerful you are. That's why we're at a place right now, New Life Family, where God's challenging every one of us to slow down and to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen. You know some things, and you don't know how you know it, but there's confirmation coming. There's validation. There's some edification. There's some connections about to happen in the Spirit between you, God, and your family in the Spirit that's going to solidify, and it's going to be like your face is turning to flint. You know now what you've guessed about, and you've only sensed, and you knew something was different, but now I know. And now your eyes are set on the prize, and nothing's going to break you from it. It's not that you're not flawed. It's not that you won't make mistakes. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you know, coming from the false identity to the real identity is just simply telling the truth, being honest with God. Lord, I feel this way. What's wrong here? And that's when the truth of God can come and you can experience him speaking it into your life, and you can know the truth now by experience, and the truth will make you free to be what? Who God says you are. Amen. I love what the Lord's doing with us He's moving us to the true identity that we're called to. I'm going to read you Ephesians 4, 14. This is what happens when you choose faith over fear. It says this, when Paul writing to the believers, he said, then we will no longer be immature like children. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we'll speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work in its identity. It helps the other parts grow so the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Wow. And so when we talk about the true us, when we talk about the true me, this is the me that God sees and has supernatural plans for right now in this moment. Don't get past the moment. Live in the moment. God is creating right now. Everybody agree with that? He don't stop creating, but he's chose, amen, from the platform of this earth to continue his creation through his creative ability and anointing through his body. He's got to have hands and feet to it. Amen. He wants his body to yield to the will, amen, of his kingdom purpose. But accepting my place in the body of Christ is crucial right now. You accepting your unique place, God reserved that just for you in his body, is critical to him being able to continue creating. Does that kind of help you understand when he stands toe-to-toe with his disciples and says, I'm with you at the moment in flesh. I'm showing you who you really are, but I shall be in you. And the works I do, greater you're going to do. I'm paying this debt off. God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Come on. Whoever believes in their true identity should not perish, but have everlasting life. You're a life giver. You're not a death giver. You're a hope giver. You're not a doubt giver. You're a faith giver. You're not a fear giver. Your identity has already been set in motion in heaven, and the Lord will not make you take that identity. He will offer it to you to make a decision to trust him with it. Amen. And so, when a person says to me that, amen, they're addicted or they're eat up with a desire to follow the ways of the world, amen, and they can't help it, this is who they are, they're admitting, amen, that they've already agreed with the liar about who they say they are. And God is wanting to release them. God's wanting to release several of us here today, because I know in this room, everybody wants to be a part of the party. Nobody in this room wants to miss the party. And the party started 2,000 years ago. Do y'all understand that? When Jesus left in the cloud, he commanded that we all go baptize and make disciples. What he was saying was, come on now, fill my house up. The banquet is starting. The spread's already been laid out. Come and dine. The master's calling. Come and dine. Amen. The kingdom of God started 2,000 years ago. Amen. And he said, the kingdom is within you, and it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You've been given the keys to the kingdom through the blood of Jesus Christ. You've been given back your true identity. God says you are who he says you are. And sooner or later, we've got to get riled up to that reality and says, enough's enough. I'm not going to be strapped to this anger. I'm not going to be strapped to this forgiveness issue. Lord, forgive us as we forgive those. for him to fulfill his will, it's important that we take care of and take advantage of the blood he appropriated for us, his love. His blood equals his love. His blood equals his life. He gave you and I life so that we could have that life and have it more abundantly. Amen. You're called to operate in your destiny and in your identity. You know, David, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. He was anointed as king. And the scripture says that when Samuel anointed him as king, it's beautiful when you read it in the Bible. In one translation, it said, and the Spirit of God rushed upon him when the anointing of his kingship came. Now, interesting enough, before he was anointed as king and before the Spirit rushed upon him, he could slay lions and bears. And he could write poetry. He could do that without the Spirit being upon him. Pretty sharp guy, huh? Matter of fact, everybody in this room, you can do some pretty powerful things prior to the Spirit coming upon you. Because God loves you. He don't make no junk. Everybody in this room is powerful. And you can achieve some interesting things because you're created by God. But when you step into your true identity, remember this, it's God's plan, it's his promise. Everybody catch it. It's his promise when you're in your identity. It's his promise. And there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it came upon all of them. When they did what? When they said, yes, Lord. They accepted their true identity. You know what water baptism is for? It's not to argue over whether you're going to heaven or hell. Water baptism is all about identity. The reason you step down into that watery grave is you're saying, Lord, this is so foolish looking. Getting in a wet tub of water or in a river or in a pond, it don't matter. So foolish. God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. You walk down in that water, it's not about going to heaven or hell. It's about taking on your identity. And he commanded them to baptize and make disciples. He commanded them to baptize and make disciples. That's where the part is at. And after Peter preaches the message, amen, when they say, what shall we do? He says, you repent. Repent to what? Quit believing the lie of who the devil says you are. Repent to the fact that God says this is who you are, and you change the way you think about yourself, and you adopt the way he sees you, and you repent to that, and you go down and you're baptized in the name of Jesus. You know, every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess. And everything that we do in word or deed, we do all in the name. Why? Because he gave you that name. He called you by that. Has anybody read your Bible? He called you by that name. Baptism is not a debate over whether or not you're going to go to heaven or hell. It's foolish just for us to debate heaven and hell in any way. We're not the judge. There's one judge. He's the one that determines where any one of us goes. What we're here to do is to take the role he gave us. We're here to take the identity he gave us. We're here to agree with who he says we are. We're here to get rid of the trash, the shame, the guilt. David operated as a king. The Spirit didn't leave him. And he would tell some of his mighty men of valor, anybody want to go with me? Because where he was going, man, you probably going to die. Why was he not fearful? Because he knew who he was. He's not even in the throne yet. He's, man, I ain't even made it to the throne yet. I can't die. I've been anointed. I know who I am. This is going to help somebody here today. He tells one of his men, you want to go with me down to Saul's camp? Saul's there to kill him. Saul got an army. He's wanting to take David out. And David goes down in the camp while they're slept. He goes right up in the tent, the king's tent, with Saul. And Abishai said, look, you know, he's going to take one shot. I take him out. He said, no. No, that's not how I'm going to become king. That's foolish. God will make me king when it's time. I know who I am already. He goes in there. One time he takes part of his hymn. Another time he takes his spear. He shouts from the top of the mountain to Saul. He said, Saul, why are you chasing after me? Just small. Why are you coming after me? I could have taken you out. And he felt, oh man, why am I? He felt bad about that because I'm speaking against God's anointing. Even though Saul, amen, wasn't under God's anointing any longer, he knew not to touch it. And Saul says to him, come on, man, when you start speaking life into your enemy, all of a sudden Saul says, my son, you could have killed me, but you didn't. And he received the rebuke and promised him he would leave him alone. But if you read the next chapter, and David, the next morning when he got up, he thought to himself. Anybody ever think to yourself before? And David thought to himself, Saul is going to kill me. God's not telling him that. He thought to himself. And when he thought to himself, he forgot who he was. And he joined with the enemy of that region. And he became a raider. And he started raiding towns. That's not what we do. He stepped out of his identity. And when he stepped out of his identity, guess what happens to his family? And all the 600 men's family. And their city. Everything was taken. All their children, their wives, their goods was taken, and the city was burned, Ziklag was. It's dangerous when we don't operate in our identity. You don't want to continue to agree with the fact that you're guilty. You don't want to, because it's dangerous for you to accept the role that you're guilty. Alcoholism's going to keep coming. Drug addiction is going to keep coming. Unworthiness, when you agree that you're unworthy. The Lord don't say you're unworthy at all, because when you say you're unworthy, you just made his cross of none effect. You tracking? And when you deny him his right to your life to make you worthy regardless of your flaws, you've just rejected him. It's dangerous not to walk in your identity. And those 600 men and mighty men of valor picked up stones. And they were about to kill David. Because that's not what they were called to do, to be raiders. Liars. And David tells them, hold, man, I just need to hold a minute. I need to wait on the Lord now. And he waited. He said, Lord, what is it that I need to know that I don't know? Should we pursue for our families? Our wives. And he waited for the Lord to give him instruction on how to do it. He stepped back into his identity. I'm going to tell you something. If you have an ear to hear what the Spirit's saying to the church, if you have an ear to hear what God's saying to you right now, that's what kings do. That's what sons do. That's what believers do. What's the Lord saying to you right now? I can always assure you that as a king, he wants you to bless the people. As a child of God, he has commissioned you to steward. Come on, the Lord said it to the Samaritan woman. If you knew who I was, you would ask me to serve you. Peter, if I don't wash your feet, if you don't let me serve you, you can't have any part. Somebody's got to catch this in a minute. The Lord is saying some things about the people next to you and in front of you right now. But if you're still wrestling with forgiveness issues and anger, you're still wrestling with the trash, false identity, he can't get through. And you can't be who you're designed to be. And you're designed by God to steward the people around you and in your path. We're stewards of the manifold grace of God. The only way they're going to get the grace that God wants to give them is through you and I saying, yes, Lord, this is who I am. I had a vision Saturday morning. I know this is on live stream, and God bless you. I hope you've been impacted. That's why I'm so thankful I'm able to release this burden today. And in my vision, there was three people. And these people, I knew them as people that I have names to them, except for one. I knew them, but I didn't know their name. Two of them, I knew their name. But that's not the point. That was speaking to me. It wasn't about the people. God says something to me because he used personalities, experiences that I have in my life to tell me a truth. So it had nothing to do with the personalities that I knew the names of. But one, there was two ladies and one man in my vision. And I'm a part of the vision only as a spectator, I'm thinking. And as I'm observing this vision that happened to me Saturday early morning, this one lady I knew by name was guilty. And she had accepted the fact that she was guilty. And this other lady, and the ladies always represent churches to me, houses, groups that gather for Jesus. This other lady was trying to get this lady to do whatever she needed to do her penance. It just sounded right. And this lady felt like, well, I need to do the penance. I need to suffer the consequence for the fact that I am guilty. And then this man shows up while this two ladies are trying to deal with the problem. And they're dealing with it wrongly. The ministry comes in and promotes doing it the wrong way. Yeah, you're guilty and you need to suffer because of it. Yeah, you deserve it. And I'm watching this go on. All three of them knew something wasn't right. Even the one that says, you know what, I deserve this, but something ain't right about this. And the one that was promoting, you need to go ahead and suffer the penance and get this behind you because you just need to do it. Own up to it and deal with it and pay the cost. Even she felt like something ain't right about this. And the minister felt like something ain't right, but you know, we got enough scripture and we got enough Bible studies to back it up. Let's just do it anyway. And while I'm watching this, I'm thinking, man, what am I seeing here? Man, an unction came on me in my night vision. And it welled up into me. And all of a sudden, out of me, I felt myself go towards the minister forcefully. And I forcefully in my night vision, it was, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And then it come up out of me again the second time in my night vision. I come out of my night vision. You know I'm doing this. All right, Daddy, what are you trying to tell me? Everybody in this room know this. There's something that you know. And you don't know it. You know, you sense it. Something's not right. Anybody ever been in a place where you just knew something ain't right? Something ain't right. And the reason you sense something ain't right because you're supernatural. You've already been purchased. He died for you. He's calling you out of darkness into marvelous light. You know some things. The reason you can sense something, you know something, you know what it really is, but you know it. This is how much I need you. It's because there's some things I know that the only way I can really get it is when I get connected with you. You're so powerful that if you will hear what the Lord's saying to you about me, and you will go ahead and tell me what the Lord's saying. What the thing that I know, I will know. The thing that I'm sensing, I will get it. and my faith will swell, and my confidence will get sure, and I will know that I know that I know I am exactly who he says I am. Is this the people you love? Is this the people you, and you hurting for right now, you wish you could help them? There's some people you would like to go lay hands on them and let me get recovered. Right? Is there some people right now that you really have this desire and you know something ain't right, but you know, God, I'd like to help them, but I don't know how to do it. But I sense that you want to use me, but I don't know what to do. And this is where we're at. Slowing down. Slow down. Do an evaluation. What identity am I carrying right now? Do I feel guilty? Am I saying I am guilty? Do I feel unworthy? Or am I saying I am unworthy? And if you're saying things like I am unworthy, you're in jail because you believe the lie. And God can't use you in the true identity he created you for until you get delivered from the lie. There's nobody in this room that's guilty. There's nobody in this room that is unworthy. That's a lie. And some of you are catching it right now. It's good that you're telling Daddy right now, Lord, okay, but I feel guilty. He can work with it. Now you're getting honest with him. Now you're telling the truth. I feel this way. I feel like you're a million miles away. I feel like I'm not justified to be used. I can work with that. Okay. Now he can talk to you because you're getting honest with him. This is the truth about who you are. And this is the truth about who I am. And not only will you begin to sense that, you'll experience that. And if you ever experience that, that's where the empowerment comes. Experiencing the love of God so that you can step into your true identity. You can slow down and quit being given to the rat race. Why did David run from Saul? He took on a false identity. What was the identity David took on when Ziklag burned and his family was taken from him? And all that he owned was taken from him. What happened? He took on the identity of self-preservation. I have to protect myself. And when he stepped into the role of being his own protector, he lost it all. And I'm telling you, in our world, in the culture we live in our world right now, the idea that I got to take care of myself, the idea that I got to put groceries on the table, the idea that I got to get my bank account where it belongs, is a lie. It's false identity. If you take care of God's business, he'll take care of yours. What's God's business? This is not bad news. This is not sad sack news. This is joyful news. It's that your business now is to baptize and make disciples. But you can't do that if you can't hear what God's saying about the ones he wants you to baptize and make disciples. God's wanting to talk to you about his treasure. He's asking you to take the trash out first. Some of us need to lay the false identities down today. Some of us need to take the trash out, and you won't have to worry about the rats no more. I'm talking to several people here that don't want to worry about the rats. You're tired of the rats. I'm tired of alcoholism. I'm tired of drug addiction. I'm tired of pornography. I'm tired of gossip. I'm tired of, and the list goes on. Anger. Tired of it. All right. Let's take the trash out. And say, Lord, I am who you say I am. I need you to let me experience that right now. And he will fill you with his spirit and with his fire. And where there was no boldness, boldness comes. Where there was no joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory happens. And all of a sudden, you're energized to believe the very thing God intended you to believe from the beginning. And he gets to redeem the time and show you how special you are. Because your best days are before you. Anybody want to get rid of some trash today? Could we stand? Father, I thank you that I am exactly who you say I am. But not only am I going to confess that with my tongue, I'm going to open my spirit up. I'm not interested in just knowing it from my brain. Lord, I need you to come into my spirit, into my heart now, and remake me, renew me, fill me. Fill me up, Lord, with your presence, with your spirit, until I'm on fire, until all I can do is what I hear you say and see you do. I'm asking the prayer team if they would to come. Amen. Don't be ashamed to come join with us in prayer. Don't let guilt hold you captive. Don't let failure in your life keep you stuck in a seat. But come, let us join with you and rejoice with you on the fact that my daddy said you are powerful. Your daddy says you're anointed. Your daddy says you're forgiven. Your daddy says, amen, all of his blood was shed so that you would have this life and you could live it abundantly. Your daddy said it. My daddy said it. And God is not a respecter of persons. He's ready to meet us right where we are. God's talking to some of you to go minister to others right now in the pews. And I'm encouraging you right now. If the Lord's talking to you about someone that needs to be encouraged, go edify them. But if you need to be encouraged and edified, meet us up front right now. Don't waste another day living a false identity. Let's live in the Spirit. God bless you.